The Bumblecast is for entertainment purposes only. The hosts' comments and opinions, and those of their guests, are wholly their own and do not represent that of any other entity. Content is provided as is, with no guarantees of accuracy or timeliness.
Welcome to a special edition of the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle, JCRB Krause.
Hey, hey, we're here, and it's time for one of them guest episodes.
Yes, yes, yes. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Daniel Barnes.
Hello, Daniel.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. I'm Daniel Barnes. You may have seen me in such movies as Bald is Beautiful and Stop Arguing on Twitter Part 3, the tweet name. Sorry, guys. Thanks for having me.
No. That was an excellent sequel. I loved the tweetening.
Yes.
Second one, a little soft in the middle, but, you know, serviceable. But the third, impeccable cinema.
Yes, yes.
Third time's the charm, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, hopefully not for you. Hopefully you're going to knock it out of the park first thing. But we'll get to that before we get on to your own magnum opus. Tell the folks at home who don't know, who are you and why are you awesome?
Oh, well, I'm Danny Barnes and I write comics. I've written a few things for IDW Sonic quite recently, probably most notably Scrapnik Island, but also I've written a few issues of the Aggretsuko comic book. I wrote an original graphic novel from a few years ago called The Black Mage with Oni Press. And my day job is I'm a narrative designer on Guild Wars 2 at ArenaNet. So I'm writing a bunch of little things here and there, you know.
Oh,
excellent.
Yeah, I'm why I'm awesome, I don't know. That's up for debate. I'm not sure about that.
But, you just listed it all right there.
I think so. I think you figured that out. I think we got it.
But there's something in particular that you are writing or have written right now that you wish to share with the whole wide world, and that is...
All right, let me get my plugging hat on real quick. I'm going to adjust it. All right, so I'm writing something called Endless Fantasia, and it's an original comic book series that I've been developing for the last few years. And essentially, my fast pitch of it is, like, think of, like, Sonic the Hedgehog meets Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy, and you might have a little bit of a ballpark of the vibe we're going for, but we're running a Kickstarter right now. And the goal is 30,000. And as of recording right now, I think we're at like 22,000.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, right. we're getting there. And we still have 36 days to go. So we're making really good progress on it.
Oh, and, yeah, you'll likely get that. Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good about it, man. And like, well, the big thing about it is, yeah, it's like Kingdom Hearts and Sonic, but I'm working on it with a literacy. I'm working with a nonprofit organization. They're called Storyleaf. And the whole thing is to kind of start this literacy initiative through comics. Cause I think when people think of like educational entertainment, they think it's kind of dry. They think it's kind of corny. And I think if you do it the right way, I think anything can be educational. If with the right spin, like for me, I read a lot of Sonic comics when I was a kid, shocker. And I also played like Final Fantasy, and through those mediums, my reading got really good. Like I kind of learned to read well by playing Final Fantasy because it forces you to read and you're invested in the story. So of course you're going to make yourself read to get there. And that's kind of the goal here, is just to make something that's really cool, really well put together, really well made, that encourages kids to read via comics. So that's my whole thing right now. That's been my whole personality for the last over a month now and going. But yeah.
Awesome.
So it's creative and it's fun and it serves a greater cause. So really, if you haven't supported it yet, why haven't you? That's Kickstarter.com/.
It's a lot of
it's a lot long of URL, but we'll have it.
Yes, read them all out one by one. I'm sure you go to Kickstarter, look up Endless Fantasia. You'll find it.
Yeah. Just search Endless Fantasia. You'll find us pretty immediately.
Yeah. Endless Fantasia by Storyleaf. Yep. Check it out.
And when the Kickstarter launched, I looked at it and it's like, wow, very strong start. Very happy for you guys. But you know, the way Kickstarters go, they have that strong start and then they hit their doldrums. You panic for the middle weeks.
Yeah.
And it picks up at the end. I don't see the doldrums hitting for you guys.
Yeah, knock on wood. It's been a we've been able to keep a pretty steady momentum. I think no small part because I'm very talented at being annoying online, so I'm able to use that for good and use that for my own ends. And like, oh wow, he's not shutting up about this. I guess I'll support it, so he'll leave me alone about it already. It's been my strategy, and it seems to be working so far. So
gotta keep up that energy. You're proactive in your self-advertisement.
Yes.
Yes. I'm very good at marketing.
Positive.
Yes.
I have a strong brand. I'm good at marketing myself. Yes, yes.
Good.
And who else? Because you've got a bit of an all-star team going in on this book.
Yeah. So for this first book, so I'm the writer, creator, and then line artists are going to be, it's going to be Mauro Fonseca, and it's going to be Rick Mack, who are doing the pencils and the inks for it. And we have Natalie Fordrain doing the colors for it. So it's going to be really cool. The covers, oh man, I don't know if you've seen, but we've also pulled some people for poster prints, which are going to also kind of double as some eventual covers for later books. Like we got Patrick Spaziante for one of the prints, which is wild.
Nice.
Man of mystery himself, Patrick Spaziante. I was able to find him in his cave in the Philippines somewhere. And I asked him, hey, please work on this. And he was super cool, super nice. He's kind of a machine. It's crazy. And then we got Mark Hughes, who did one of the other prints, which is very good. Very much styled after the kind of the airbrushed classic Sonic looking video game covers. And then we got Minho Kim, who did another print, which is all really cool. So yeah, I'm just leaning on all these super talented artists that I happen to know and just calling in favors and bugging them. And they're nice enough to come along with me on the ride. So it's really cool.
And you've got all that sample art up on the Kickstarter, right?
I do.
Yeah, it's all there.
The Kickstarter. And then I'm doing that whole poking at social media thing. So if you look me up on social media, you will find me talking about it. There's no possibility. I will be talking about it. So go to the Kickstarter, look at the art, come to my Blue Sky and or Twitter, look at the art. It's going to be somewhere associated with me.
Danny ate. And
I
want to
point it out because describing it doesn't do it justice. It is a very, very pretty book already.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Yep.
I mean, with the artistic pedigree behind it, that should be expected. But like the sweeping shot of the city between the principal characters, just the richness of the color, the liveliness of it all, it's breathtaking. Honest to goodness. So if you have not looked at this yet, do yourself a favor. Go look at it. Put it in your eye holes. It's candy for the brain noggin.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no. Very fortunate. Very fortunate to be working with the people I'm working with. Really bringing it to life for me.
And how big is the first book going to be?
So right now, we have it scheduled for the first comic's going to be 30 pages. But tentatively, if we hit our goal early, I would like to implement perhaps a stretch goal where we can introduce the possibility of, hey, if we make more than our $30,000 goal, we can extend the page count for the first book, which is always helpful because I'm always down to write more pages. Like I could definitely do a good story in 30 pages, but you know, more pages are always really cool. I like to self-indulge a little bit. So yeah, that's the plan right now. For the pilot, it's like a 30 page little thing.
And once this is tremendously successful and launches and gets all the accolades and whatnot, what's your plan from beyond that?
Well, you know, Jack has to be in Fortnite, I guess. And then,
Just say that, but you already have a cross promotion thing going on right now.
That's true. Yeah. So, for those who don't know, if you've seen the Kickstarter for Star Garden by Game Garage, which has been a massively successful Kickstarter. They've got over 100K in like 4 days. Yeah, they're set for life basically. But I talked with the fellas there, and Jack Flash, my main character in Endless Fantasia, he's going to be a DLC racer in that game, which is super cool because their whole game is kind of a Kirby Air Ride meets Chao Garden type thing, and my whole thing is, you know, Sonic-y adjacent. So It's two great tastes that taste great together, hopefully. So I'm doing that right now. And yes, hopefully if the book is successful, I would like to, you know, of course, I like a cartoon. I like a video game. You know, I like a bunch of books. Like, that'd all be cool. I just want to make sure that primarily it's about getting people excited to read. So I guess if it was a game, it'd be like a JRPG, like Final Fantasy, to make people read it. Like I said, I did when I was a kid. So yeah, I don't know. The sky's the limit. I'm super excited. I've kind of designed it to be kind of this evergreen, malleable, do what you want with it. It's fairy tales, it's storybooks, it's nursery rhymes. There's a lot you can do there. Great wealth of material. So fingers crossed, man.
And I wish you all the best, but I will admit I am just a trifle, tiny, gigantic bit jealous that your book isn't even out yet and you've already got a cameo appearance in another form of media and it's voiced.
Oh, yeah. Zeno Robinson's voicing him. He's reminding me of everything going on in my life, and I'm forgetting to bring it up. Yeah, Zeno Robinson's voicing him. He's a really cool guy. He's a kind of a friend of mine now, and he's been a super big advocate for Endless Fantasia for a while now. So that's going to be cool. He's got the right sounding voice. I'm excited to see what that sounds like. But yeah, it's all thanks to my ability to burrow my way into your life and annoy you. It's all coming from that.
That's freaking
my
awesome.
My master plan.
Well, while you have burrowed into our skulls, you might as well lay a few eggs. Tell us about Endless Fantasia and Jack and the story itself.
Okay. Broadly speaking, Endless Fantasia is set in the city of Ever After. It's this huge sky metropolis utopia. Really cool to look at because I love me some sky islands. I love me some cool cities with flying cars. And it's set there, and this is where all of the different storybook and fairy tale characters kind of coexist. They intermingle, and it's like kind of remixed, reimagined versions of them. So it's part of the fun is going to be like running into my version of the Three Little Pigs, my version of Pinocchio, that sort of thing. But the story is squarely focused on Jack and Jill. Jack, who his full name is Jack Flash, he's based on the White Rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. And I kind of, of course, he's kind of like very Sonic-y. He's kind of like Yusuke Urameshi from Yu Yu Hakusho, if you watch that anime, one of my favorites. And he likes a good fight. He likes a good tussle. But he's got a heart of gold, even though he's kind of a delinquent. And he has the golden timepiece, his pocket watch that he can kind of warp space and time with. And he works with Jill. Her name's just Jill. She doesn't have a last name. And she's kind of this teenage witch with a kind of dark, checkered past. And she can use black magic. And together, they go around the city and they hunt wolves. And wolves are like shadowy demons in this world. They're a lot like the Heartless, that Kingdom Hearts comparison. And they're spawn of the big bad wolf, which is this huge ancient archdemon that got sealed away long ago. But his remnants are still around the city. And so they go around kind of like very Ghostbusters-y. And they just kind of their own volition, they're trying to hunt down these wolves and get rid of them. And it always takes them into the lives of these other storybook characters who usually have a kind of a personal problem going on. Essentially, the format is we meet, it's kind of a monster of the week type thing, kind of like Power Rangers, kind of like Sailor Moon, because I really like that format of story, and I feel like we don't have enough of it anymore. But essentially, you meet your storybook character of the week. They kind of have some turmoil going on in their life, and that turmoil, that fear, those negative emotions, the wolves feed on it. They come calling when they sense that in your life. And so they'll show up, they'll start affecting this person, possessing them, manipulating them. And Jack and Jill get drawn to the scene. They kind of have to help this person get through their turmoil. And when they do that, they can extract the wolf and destroy the particular wolf that's afflicting them. So that's kind of the basic broad strokes, has a lot of style, has a lot of battle shonen energy, a lot of emotion, wears its heart on its sleeve type thing. And yeah, that's kind of the broad strokes. You're just going to meet a bunch of new characters. There's a, the city is ruled by the three godmothers. There's those guys. and it's Mother Goose, Mother Grimhild, and Mother Gothel. And they're kind of these awesome, really tall battle nuns that use white magic, and they rule over the city, and you kind of learn a little bit about them later and what they're attached to. Jack and Jill fight a fellow named Cerberus, who's a wolf demon. He's more of a super wolf demon. He's more advanced and can talk and can think. And he's kind of got his own machinations. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. I don't want to give it all away, but that's kind of the broad strokes of the whole thing, I think.
You seem to have won the chat and I guess me at Battle Nuns. That sounds pretty freaking. That sounds pretty sick.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've stewed on it for a long time. So it's just been bubbling over for years now.
Everything's better with Battle Nuns.
Battle Nuns are awesome.
Yes. Fairy Tales and Flying Cities and Battle Nuns.
Yes.
Neuron activation.
Exactly.
But I really feel like the whole vibe of this is you looking at all the things you enjoy.
Yes.
And saying, I want to play with all the toys, and making up an excuse for it and just having a blast.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's I very much wear my influences on my sleeve. I'm not really shy about it. And yeah, that's just kind of like, how can I create an endless toy box of just stuff I can do? And there's always something I can mess with and really just stretch that out. So yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I like Yu Yu Hakusho. I like Sonic. I like Kingdom Hearts. I like Shadow Demons. I like Battle Nuns, of course. I like all this stuff. So it's just creating the ultimate toy box for myself, you know.
Very good. Very good.
But yeah. What else? What else you got for me?
How did you get started with Guild Wars?
Oh, Guild Wars. Oh, man. Okay, there you go. There you go. That'll have me yammering for a bit. So I was going to Academy of Art University back in like, oh my God, the olden times before the pandemic. I was going there in San Francisco. And at the time, my first graphic novel, Black Mage, had just come out pretty recently. And it was pretty well received, I think, for the most part. And it just so happened, I think it was like it had to be 2019. And I was kind of like, oh, I'm kind of starting to transition out of school, I think. Let me see if I can just find a job somewhere. And so I just did my job searching thing online, and I found ArenaNet. And ArenaNet had a narrative designer position open. And, of course, I had no experience writing any video game, but I like video games and I have experience writing. So I applied and I waited, and they actually rejected my application, but they did something really cool that a lot of video game companies do, which is they had someone actually call me back and say, yeah, we didn't accept you, but you had a very good application and we'd like to keep in touch with you and maybe mentor you, which really shocked me. Usually you don't get a reply at all, or you get just a generic email back.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting. And that was like right before, I think, the summer of 2019. And so the guy who got back to me, his name was Bobby Stein, and he's my boss today. And so he basically got my information, and they were doing for a hot minute a mentorship program during the summers at ArenaNet to kind of foster new talent in the games industry. And it was all stuff you do over like just it wasn't Skype. It was a video messaging thing. So we just all met up once a week and we just talked shop about our philosophy on storytelling in video games and learning certain techniques and all that. And I kind of did that for a summer, and that was really neat. And it kind of came and went, and it was a really cool experience. And then after that summer of 2019, like a year passed or so, and it was just like, okay. And I went about my life. I got another job. And then out of the blue, they kind of cold called me and went, hey, Danny, we really liked you at that development workshop we did. And we actually have a freelancer position open for our new expansion we're doing. We would like to interview you for it. Would you be open to doing that? And I just fell off the toilet, I guess. I don't know where I was at the time. I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, yes, please. And so they put me through the paces. They put me through the rigmarole. And everyone was super cool. And I guess they liked what they heard. So they hired me on to work on Guild Wars 2 End of Dragons. And that was the expansion at the time. And I got to work on it for 9 months. I was a freelancer. I learned a bunch of stuff. It was really cool. And they shipped the game. I got a shipped game credit out of it. And it was great. And then it was like, okay, contract's over. And we can't renew because, you know, we're doing this. So I moved on. I did some other work. And I think about, I'm going to say, 4 months passed. And they called me again, like, hey, Danny, we liked working with you on End of Dragons. We actually have one of our writers who've just moved. They left to a different company, and we have a full-time position open. Would you like to have the spot? And I fell off the toilet again, I guess. And I just went, oh, crap. Yeah. Yes. And so, yes, please. And so they hired me on. And then I've had since, I want to say, 2022 – I've had a full-time job there, and it's been super cool. And it's funny because initially they hired me, I want to say like it was like December of 2021 or like January of 2022. They like called me and offered me the position. And at the time, I think they thought they were going to go back to being fully in office. Like everyone was going to be back on site.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they're like, oh, we can pay and relocate you up here to Washington, Bellevue, Washington, where we're located. And I was like, oh, sure. Yeah, that's really cool. I've been to Washington several times before for Emerald City Comic Con. I like Washington. And so they relocated me up there. I got my apartment, which is, oh my God, it's really expensive. Bellevue, Washington is very expensive to live in, by the way, because a lot of tech companies live there.
So, so
I moved there. Yes. It's a bit. It's pretty, though. It's really overcast because it's Washington, but lots of great nature and all that. But yeah, I moved up there, and they relocated me. I got all moved in, and then they were like, oh, yeah, actually, no, we're not going to do back in office. We're going to just do kind of hybrid. You only have to come in if you want to. I'm like, ah. So I didn't have to. I could have just, all right. But it's fine because, like, it's a new state. I'll give it a shot. I'll try it out. And so I lived in Washington for 2 years, and it was nice. They have some nice food there. They have a lot of nice nature. But I was mostly working from home, and I was only going into the office every so often. So it was funny because the apartment I chose was a 30-minute walk from my office. Like, I specifically had it set up. So, oh, this will be really convenient for me when I have to go in office. Didn't have to do it. But I worked mostly from home. And I was living there, and my apartment is expensive, and it was nice. I'm from California. I've lived here most of my life, and there is like no sun in Washington. It's usually overcast, and it was really bumming me out. Like, I need to have the sun. Because I have photosynthesis or something that I engage in. I don't know. I need the sun because I'm from California. So I eventually made the decision, oh, if I'm working from home, and I'm just going to move back to California. So now I've relocated to Fresno. Here's where like most of my friends and family are. So I'm much more in my element. I still work at the same job. I'm working remote now. And it's going really well. They've moved me on to some other projects that are really exciting that haven't been announced yet. They're going to be really cool when they announce them, though. And that's just kind of been my day-to-day. Is I work on Guild Wars during the day, and when I have free time, I get some Sonic work here and there, and then I shill for a Kickstarter for 2 months straight. Is my reality right now, and it's pretty cool. I can't complain. Not too bad considering a lot of the backbone of my career has just been, oh wow, a really cool person happened to see my application and just kept calling me back over and over again. So I think that's a lot of success when it comes to life. It's just someone or several people just being really kind to you. It's the kindness of others pays off a lot of the time, which is really neat. To backtrack even further, I'm going to keep on yammering.
That's fine. Go for it.
Before all that, because I think one of the reasons they really liked my application for Guild Wars is because they saw that I published The Black Mage. And they were like, oh, this is a cool book. And so that really helped me stand out, is that I was a published comic book creator. And so The Black Mage was the book I published with Oni Press. That was my first professionally written comic book.
Okay. And I was wondering about that.
Yeah. And the way that came about, because for those of you who don't know, Oni Press, probably they're most well-known for Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That's the Oni Press comic book.
Yep.
Yeah, and they have like they have the Rick and Morty comic, and they had the Aggretsuko comic, which I also wrote for that I mentioned. And they've been around for over 20 years. They're a pretty big indie operation. But yeah, that happened because, oh God, I had just gotten out of the Navy because I was in the Navy for 4 years right out of high school. And then I got out of the Navy in 2015. And when I was in the Navy, I was coming up with basically the idea for the Black Mage, essentially. And I just kept kind of workshopping that while I wasn't working to kind of keep my sanity because the Navy is a very soul-crushing experience, let me tell you. I love the people I met and, you know, all that. But I did it for 4 years and it's something. But while I was working, I was doing that on the side and I was telling my friends about it. And so I remember in 2015 when my Navy contract was about to expire, they're like, do you want to re-up? We can give you some like incentives. And, you know, I kind of got into that rhythm of like, you know, the Navy kind of wears me out, but I've been doing it for 4 years. I'm kind of used to it. I'm kind of good at being in the Navy. Maybe I should keep doing it. Like that was starting to set in my mind. And I was like, No. I'm gonna do what I set out to do. I'm gonna join the Navy. I'm gonna get out. I'm gonna use the GI Bill to go to college. That was the whole reason I joined, so I could go to college without getting into soul crushing debt. And so I said, nope, I'm gonna get out. And this is all a preamble because I got out in 2015 after making that decision, and I decided on the Academy of Art University is what I was gonna attend in San Francisco. But between that, I was working at Walmart. I'd come back home and I worked at Walmart for the summer because I got out in the spring of 2015. And so randomly I was working at Walmart and one of my buddies, his name is John Charles Holmes. I'll name drop him because he's awesome. But he reached out to me and he's like, dude, Oni Press they're doing an open submissions program, which is like kind of unheard of. You don't really hear about comics publishers doing this. So they said, hey, you know what? We're sending out the golden tickets like Willy Wonka. So essentially they were like, we're opening up the floodgates to anyone. We have a website made for this. And for the next 2 months, we are going to take pitches from literally anyone. And you submit them here. Here's what we need from you. Here are the details. And we will look over every single pitch. And the ones we like, we will publish into real books. And my buddy John Charles was like, dude, that Black Mage thing you're telling me about, you should submit it. It might be good. I was like, oh, yeah, this would be really cool. And I love Scott Pilgrim. And so I got some Walmart cash out of my pocket, and like I commissioned an artist that sacred that heavy Walmart cash.
Of course.
And then I commissioned an artist to do some mock up art and pages for me, and I wrote a proposal package, like just a pitch deck, based on what I felt they wanted to see, and I read some stuff online, very very amateurish. And I wrote a sample script for it, which I'll tie back to Ian during this story, is I learned how to write comic scripts because you, sir, when you had the Bumble King forums, were putting your Archie Sonic scripts online. And I was reading Archie Sonic, and I owned the issues you were writing, and I was able to take your scripts and take the issues you wrote and cross-examine them to teach myself how to write comics. So, like, you're the reason I have this job right now in a lot of ways. It's your fault, buddy. You did this.
That's right. Blame me.
Once again, Ian's at fault.
However, yes. Taking all your business correspondence on the toilet, that's you, buddy. I'm not taking any blame for that.
Hey, man, it's I got to deal with a lot of shit in this business. What better way to.
And look at you now, flush with success.
Oh man!
Did I hear someone groan in the background?
Aaliyah was in earshot. Yes.
Oh man. Where was I? So I, based on all that knowledge I gained, thanks to Ian indirectly, I was able to write some comic scripts for that, and I put together a package and I just sent it off, and I just went back to my Walmart job. And I was like, okay, that was neat. And then a month later, on my day off, I distinctly remember this. I was eating a burrito from Robertito's at my friend's house, sitting on his couch. And they called me. And they're like, hi, is this Daniel Barnes? I was like, ooh, with the burrito in my mouth. And they were like, They're like, hey, yeah, this is Oni Press. We really liked your Black Mage pitch. We'd like to talk more about it. And I'm like, oh, thank God I wasn't sitting on the toilet this time. And then, and the rest was history. And it was just like, it's been everything in my life has been just a cool person kind of like stepping forward and kind of paying it forward to me. So that led to Black Mage. Black Mage led to the job at ArenaNet, which has led to other opportunities to like write on Aggressico. That's led to me eventually being able to write on Sonic. It's all kind of connected. I'm very thankful to the people in my life and just the decision to be kind to me at any given time. Kindness is important, people. That's the lesson here.
It is. But don't sell yourself short because you put yourself out there. Like, you went for that Oni open submission. You went for the Guild Wars gig. You went for all of this. So it isn't that people just descended from the ether to say, here, Daniel, have things. You worked for it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, yeah, I'll give myself a little credit, I guess. You know,
You should.
You should.
Yeah.
Don't be like one of those artists who's like, all just like, no, it wasn't me. It was everybody else. Like, no. It was you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it is a lot of like, I think a lot of like, I don't know, at least my success, I don't know if it's universal. It's a mixture of just kind of, yeah, putting yourself out there. Being able to, I guess, recognize a potential opportunity and being able to capitalize on it when you identify it. And then a lot of it is like good fortune and kindness from other people. So maybe if you have those three things, I'm sure it'll work out, right? It's worked out for me. It's been anecdotal, but I don't know.
There is a lot of luck involved in, especially in getting a job in like a creative industry. There's definitely an element of luck, but you worked for it though, too. Definitely.
I think that's a good thing that you highlighted too, is that you didn't just do the freelance writing back to back. You were in the Navy, you worked at Wally World. I'm sure you've had a number of part-time jobs in between the various writing gigs. It's feast or famine. You got to go where the work is. You don't just land the one gig and coast for the rest of your career.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, you gotta do a little hustling, a little grinding, a little hoping, a little waiting. It all is just, a lot of it was just, oh yeah, I'm just doing this kind of like this regular quote unquote job. And on the side, I'm hopefully planting seeds and hopefully working towards this other goal at the same time. It's not just, I'm only going to write. I'm only going to do this. I'm only going to do Sonic and that's it. It's like, that's not healthy. It's very much like you have to be kind of open to the universe and you have to be willing to do multiple things at once, multitask, work on something on the side, keep fostering that, hoping it'll pay off one day while you're doing this other thing. A lot of that. And it's not easy, but you know, I think most things that are worth doing aren't. So
there's also those very scary times in between the gigs that you want to do where it's like, were those flukes? Did I just get lucky? Will I never get to do this again?
Yes.
Were they just being nice and taking pity on me? Because obviously that's what big companies do. They just hand out charity work because they like your face.
I'm always talking about those big companies and their random acts of kindness out of pity.
Yeah.
You know.
The imposter syndrome is insidious and it sinks in real fast.
Yeah, I can.
Absolutely. But yeah, just gotta hopefully push that out of your brain. Just keep on trucking and hopefully you'll get to where you need to be. If not immediately, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then the next day. Just keep taking it like that.
Is there anything that you're working on right now that you can talk about, or is it all like in development, hush, hush, NDA stuff?
Sure. I mean, I'm allowed to talk about the Sonic comic to some degree on here, right? Is that allowed? Or
you can talk about your work. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, go for it.
So I have, I think it comes out next month. It's the Chaotix 30th anniversary special. So I got to write that. And that's coming out and that's going to be really fun. And that's, it's me. It's, oh my God, it's Tracy Yardley, which that's surreal also. Cause again, I was like reading the stuff he drew for you and now he's drawing something from it. Very weird. It's the universe we live in. But it's Tracy. It's Mato Fonseca. It's Ryan Jampol, who drew the Mega Man comics you worked on, which is also really weird. And it's Minho Kim. And it's a kind of the premise generally is The Chaotix are recalling a past case they did to Sonic and Amy. And each Chaotix, when they tell their part of the story, has a different art style. So it switches art styles each time you get their part of the Rashomon style story. And it's super fun. I'm really happy with how it came out. And that is next month, I believe. So that's my cool. my next project.
That sounds great. I like that concept.
Super fun. And then I think it's this, and it's just 36 more days of plugging Endless Fantasia to the masses, I believe.
Yes. Good.
And how did you put the team? How did you get the team for it together? Was it a simple matter of, I like these people, I want to work with these people, hey, work with me? Or was there any kind of negotiation, finagling, scheduling, talking, or was just everybody on board?
Yeah, they emailed me about it. And then, as you know, we're on our little Discord and we're always chatting each other up on IDW Sonic, which is really helpful for communication sometimes. But, essentially, the editors emailed me and like, hey, would you like to do this? Would you like to pitch for this, such and such? And I started fleshing that out. And as I came up with the ideas, I'm like, oh, if you can, I like this artist, this artist, this artist, this artist. And I gave them a list. And for the most part, pretty accommodating. They're like, oh, yeah, sure. And it was more like they're pretty cool with who you ask for as long as the person's available and also wants to do it. So, yeah, it all – I didn't – I remember it was crazy because I didn't ask for Tracy because I didn't think I could pull Tracy. And then Tracy's like doing most of the art for the book. And I was like, oh, crap. Oh, awesome. So that was really cool. I was like, I didn't even like think to ask for Tracy Yardley. And I got that in my lap. It's amazing. So yeah, there's a little bit of a requesting. There's a little bit of a feeling that out. I know for Scrapnik Island, I specifically asked for Natalie Fordrain to color that. And cause she also really wanted to color it, and that worked out. So yeah.
Nice.
I'm putting together the crew for Endless Fantasia.
Oh yes. Yeah, that's just they're used to me. It helps that I again was burrowing into their minds and planting the idea into their head for a long time. Like, it's coming. It's coming. It's, oh Lord, it's coming. and then I'm just like, it's here. And they're like, oh, okay, all right, okay. So didn't jump scare with them. They very much knew what was on the horizon, and now it's here. And now they must draw for me, or else.
Good.
Here's my really cool idea. It sure would be nice if my artist friends would want to help. Just saying.
I'm just a little guy. Please,
drop my comic. Help me.
Oh, golly geez. Oh. I'm a little sick. It would be cool if you guys could draw my comic.
Gotcha. Sad violin somewhere. And how are you going to get printed out once it's done and funded? Are you doing self-published? Do you have somebody pick it up?
Oh, for this first book, self-publishing. We already have like a printer we're looking at, and it's just a part of the goal. The funding goal for it is to account for printing and shipping and all of that stuff. So yeah, we're going to self-publish this initial book. And then I would like to pie in the sky as we make more of them. I would like to then go to a publisher and go, hey, would you like to collect these for us into a thing? And so we can kind of have our cake and eat it too, in a way. Mm-hmm. Like kind of we self-produce these things in high quality as individual things. And then we can then just go and have another publisher collect them again in a bigger volume, because you know it's kind of like their Mother Goose fairy tales anyway, and those are usually collected volumes in and of themselves, so that'd be a nice little twist on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
or even proof of concept here. Look at how well we're doing by ourselves. Imagine how successful we would be with some backing and support.
Imagine making money on this, having not had to put any of the money up yourself, publisher. Oh, tell us more. You know,
yeah, I feel like
that's a lot of different. I feel like we're kind of in that era for a lot of entertainment. It's like a lot of these companies, they don't want to put up their own money. But if you can prove that you have a following on your own, then they're happy to swoop in. And oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, we knew all along you were going to be really good. It's like, okay, buddy. All right.
We discovered these guys. Yeah, just like Columbus discovered America.
great comic you have there. It'd be a shame if I discovered it.
Oh, no.
Just a reminder, kids, read your contracts thoroughly. Get a lawyer friend if you need it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just real quick, looping back to something you said earlier, I am very happy that the sample material I put back yonks ago was able to help you. And I still have some sample material on my website. So if you're listening to this and going, I want to read Ian's scripts too and have wild success like Daniel Barnes, go over to bumbleking.com. There's a sample script right there that you can read and download and work from and study and, I don't know.
Do whatever. Take it apart. Put it back together.
Yeah. I mean, I can't emphasize enough how like huge that was for me. It was so helpful just to have some kind of blueprint that was like tangible. Because I know a lot of the time in different parts of the entertainment industry, it can feel kind of like a mystery. Like, how do you get in there? And I think it was very cool of you to just kind of put that stuff online very casually without any asking for anything in return and just have it available. And yeah, I just soaked it up like a sponge, man. It was big for me.
Hmm. I wanted to ask, what's the distribution for Endless Fantasia? How are you putting it out there?
Oh, so yeah, right now for this Kickstarter, what we're doing is it's funding the production and it's going to be a physical book.
Okay.
And you get the physical book by contributing to the Kickstarter. And also we have it set up. So if you get a book on Kickstarter, you also get the PDF of it. So you're going to get a digital version that goes along with it in case you don't want to read the physical one for some reason. And so the idea is to right now just make this thing, have a kind of this contained Kickstarter success and like have the numbers, have the metrics, be able to show people, hey, look how successful this was. And then hopefully since we're a nonprofit, we're working as a nonprofit type thing, we can then approach maybe other nonprofits, approach like grants, approach other like, hey, we're doing a literacy program with this comic and we want to produce said comic. And yeah, kind of maybe parlay that into like some funding. Cause I think what we don't want to do is have it to keep kickstarting and keep asking the public to give us money for it. So
yeah.
I think, the Kickstarter is kind of just like, please help us basically fund this quote unquote, I don't want to call it a pilot because it's not a show, it's a comic, but a pilot episode of this comic. And then we can use the successful Kickstarter and this comic to parlay that into hopefully self-sustaining funding from other entities, which would be nice. And then with the book, we can, like I know one of the things we have on our Kickstarter is we have some add-ons and they're called the it's Literacy Sponsor and Literacy Champion, and they're basically big bundles. They're like 5 and 10 book bundles, and you can either ship them to yourself and deliver them yourself, or you can like choose like a library or a school that you want to donate them to and just have the books shipped there. And those bundles, those add-ons come with reading guides we're going to make, and the reading guides are kind of this going to help educators go, okay, like it's going to help you be able to discuss the comic as a piece of literature to students. Like, oh, what are the themes of this? Oh, this character was in this situation and made this decision. Do you agree with what they did? Why or why not? Let's talk about it. And yes, that sort of thing. So yeah, that's going to be really cool also. And so once we can kind of prove in this kind of microcosm what it is, that it works and the people have an interest, we can hopefully, like I said, parlay that into a bigger operation with funding from other sources. And yeah, be cool. I would love to make a huge Sonic Kingdom Hearts comic that is built specifically around getting kids to read and dissect literature and read other comics and stuff. That's the goal.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
It's also Fantasia.
Well, do we have anything else we want to touch on before we head off into this bumble sunset?
The bum set?
No, yes. 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 That's correct. That's the right one.
I don't know. I think I've yammered. I can't think of anything else to yammer about myself on. So I'm more like I'm just like, if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to elaborate or talk shop about anything else. I'm just happy to be here, man.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
I, for one, am just very happy and proud of the success you guys have already had. Tiny bit jealous, not going to lie, but I am just really glad to see something of so much passion and vision already finding an audience and already beginning to flourish. That just makes me happy.
Oh,
so
thanks, man.
Big kudos to you and the whole team. And I really hope that Kickstarter resolves with just crazy amounts of support so that we're getting like an 80 page book out of this.
Heck yeah, man. And dude, don't be jealous. Let's team up some Drogon, Endless Fantasia action. Let's do something.
Yes.
I'm all for that stuff.
Let's do a crossover.
It's definitely possible. I just have to get the other book out first.
Yeah, we did Sparkflame. Sparkflame was huge. We can do let's combine forces. I'll be the head.
Let's
be the right arm.
Yes.
Let's and we have it. Successfully become a Silent Hill creature crawling towards you. Support us!
Kill us!
Yes, yes.
Very, very cool. I didn't know you were in the Navy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the Navy.
I left that. Alone. Oh, please don't.
No, I know.
No. Wait. It's in the Navy and damn, Daniel. I heard so much of.
Yeah.
It's fine, though. But yes, that was a chapter of my life long ago. I was, when I graduated high school in 2010, and then I went to the Navy in 2011, and then I was there for 4 years. So that was just the training arc of my life was the Navy for 4 years. I was in Virginia in Norfolk on the USS Normandy cruiser.
Neat.
Did you sail off into international waters or do you stay domestic?
We did something called Balt Ops for, I think, the summer of 2012. And that was, like, the coolest thing I did in the Navy. And we did go to the Baltic Ocean and the Baltic Sea. And then we went to, we went to Sweden. We went to Russia. We went to, I think we went to Germany. Oh, my God. That was, oh, God. It was 13 years ago, and now I'm having an existential crisis realizing it was 13 years ago.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, no, we went to several European countries, and it was super cool. I liked it quite a bit. I had my first beer over there because the legal drinking age was different over there.
No, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is gross. What the hell? And then, it was super cool. That was the coolest thing we did for like those 3 or 4 months. Then we came back and our ship was kind of just in dry dock, getting tuned up and qualified to go on another voyage for the remainder of my time there. And like it was right when I was getting out, my ship was going out to sea for their big like year long voyage. So like I was like, "See you, suckers!" And they like took me off the ship and they all went out to sea and had to stay out to sea for a year. Being underway can be a bit of a slog. You're on the ship. You're not going anywhere else. You're just in a cramped living space. And I watched so much anime when I was in the Navy because it was like, let me get a hard drive and just download a bunch of anime. And because there's no internet, there's no Wi-Fi out there. You get occasional internet in the computer labs or whatever they have. And that's when the dish is out and you're in a specific area. And it's just like, yeah, okay. I'm going to do a bunch of reading and watching a bunch of anime while I'm out here. So that was neat. I got to catch up on a lot of that. But yeah, the Navy was quite a time. And then I rolled right out of that into college for 4 years. So yeah, I've done some stuff and some things.
Yeah, you have.
Wouldn't recommend it.
And his Fantasia ever dries up, you got an autobiography ready to go, man. Jeez.
Yeah, kinda.
From blue to blue, Navy to Sonic, the Daniel Barnes story.
Well, once again, before we wrap up, tell folks name of the project, where they can find it, where they can find you.
Excellent. Yeah. So the project is Endless Fantasia. It's on Kickstarter. It's got 36 days to go. If you want to find it, just go on Kickstarter, type in Endless Fantasia. You'll instantly find it. Where you can find me, I'm on Blue Sky and Instagram and Twitter at Danny8Bit. That's D-A-N-N-Y, the number 8-B-I-T. And you can just see me just yapping and yammering and occasionally arguing with people about pop culture stuff that really doesn't matter that much, but it's all fun.
Well, that's what social media is for.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Danny, so much for being on the show. Again, bon chance with everything in English Fantasia, everything else you got going on. Looking forward to the Chaotic special. Kyle, you got anything here to add to the end?
No, I'm just, I'm this project's really cool. And love everything you're doing, Danny. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Really appreciate it, guys. Really. Thanks for having me.
All right. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Support Endless Fantasia. And we will see you next time on the Bumblecast.
See you later.
Bye.
If there's any flubs, like you say something you don't want out there or whatever, just let us know. Go back, edit out. Do it all the time because I am an angry man who says angry, stupid things sometimes.
Relatable.
Well, you know.
The entire thing posted is by Endless Fantasia. Thank you for watching.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Danny boy, Discord is failing.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Okay.
Well, okay. Are we back?
I didn't touch my mouse long enough and my computer conked out and then disconnected.
Oh. We heard you the whole time.
Okay. All right. Cool. Hello? Anyone there? Oh, I start tripping
Hello?
But, get further away.
You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org. Also, welcome back, Ian.
Hey.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sure can.
Okay. Sorry about that. Just all of a sudden, the entire building went black.
Jeez. Power outage?
Briefly. And I'm like, was that thunder? Did a transformer blow? And Elise says, no, they're doing fireworks in the field across the way. It's like, well, I don't think it was that. So apologies, but here I am.
Oh, good.
Welcome back. Man.